This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's hour two of the Lombardi Line on VSiN and DraftKings Network. I'm Stormy Bonatoni. Michael Lombardi back in his rightful seat. Back at home, so happy to see your beautiful face, Michael. And it does feel like you got a little color over there in the Bahamas.
Yeah, it did. It was awesome, Stormy. Great weather, beautiful scenery. There were sharks in the water. You know, I was not, once I saw the shark, I'm out. I'm not going there.
No,
we're going to need a bigger boat. My man Bill Berman, he went in there. He couldn't wait to fight off a shark, you know. But it was great. Awesome weather. You know, it's good. It's good to feel refreshed for the, you know, this is the greatest month of all outside of football season because we got the NCAA tournament. The women's tournament was fun. And then we got the Augusta and the draft. And so you can't really beat it. The tradition, unlike any other, the champions dinner just sends goosebumps down my, I mean, when I'm watching that, all those guys take the picture. It just, it's such a great sense of how you create belonging and how you create something that people gravitate back to. It's really about that. And that's why teams with culture, like we're going to talk about a little bit here, teams that have that ability to bring the past to the present are so much better with their culture because you're fighting for a purpose bigger than yourself.
It's a beautiful week as a whole for sports because you're coming off the men's and women's national championships in college basketball, and it just slides right into Thursday teeing off out there at Augusta National, which is, as far as a course goes, just historic, so well-known and highly regarded. And because you mentioned the champions dinner, Michael, we always have to ask these questions. What would be your marquee item if you got to have a Masters championship dinner?
Oh, wow.
What's the item?
There's a restaurant in Venice, California called Evan Funk is the chef. He actually is the mother. He's over at the new hotel there, with the Fountain Blue right there. Mm-hmm. But he is this incredible pizza chef, Italian chef. It would be along those lines. Like gourmet pizza would be an appetizer. There would be some form of a pasta dish from the region of where my family grew up that would be traditional.
You'd have the manicotti. I already know.
And or lasagna. You know, I'm a huge lasagna fan. So even though they don't make lasagna over there until Christmas time, but to me, it would be along those lines. That's what makes it so good is you kind of have a way to bring the people that have helped you and the cultures that you've been surrounded by. And that dinner is just incredible. And, you know, there would be milkshakes for dessert because is there anything better than a milkshake? Seriously.
I am addicted to ice cream and milkshakes. And so, yes, please invite me to the champions dinner. I would like to attend. John Rahm, of course, the defending Masters champion. He did a Spanish inspired dinner, a lot of great cuisine from his home and including his grandmother's lentil soup. He made sure that the chefs had the recipe of his grandma's specific soup. So that was a nice little personal tie that he had there. John Rahm, second shortest shot on the board to win the Masters this year. Scottie Scheffler, who won it in 2022 and has just been otherworldly, world number one, a plus 450 favorite. So I know we'll talk about this a little bit later when Harry Gagnon joins the show. I'm hoping that Scottie Scheffler gets off to maybe a slow start so that I can get a slightly better number to buy in on him to win the Masters because he really does feel like Michael. He has been playing a class of his own at this point. And while Elliot was gone, because Elliot too is back from a trip, he was out there in Phoenix, Arizona for the Final Four watching his Purdue Boilermakers, RIP. Sorry about that, Elliot. I didn't mean to go that far. But when Justin was filling in, he got me the recipe for the Azaleas cocktail. So that's what my plan is going to be over the weekend before I head out to San Antonio for the UFL. I'm going to make the Azalea cocktail, sit on my couch and watch the Masters.
Is there anything better than that? I mean, really, is there anything better? The fact that they limit the commercials, so you're going to get constant golf, and you know the holes that are coming up. That's what makes it so good. You know what you're going to see. Everybody's kind of uniformed in the white. The caddies are wearing the same thing. And I just think it's, and I hope we have great weather for it. I really do. I keep asking myself this question, Stormy. Why isn't Brooks Koepka somebody who should win the Masters? You know, having spent so much time around a lot of the CBS guys, golf crew, through Lance Barrow, a friend of mine, and the great Jim Nance, you know, we would talk, they would talk about how the television doesn't really give you a perspective, and I've never been, of how wide open the course really is. You know, the fairways, and a lot of it is you've got to be able to handle the different platforms you have to hit the ball off of, side hill lies, downhill lies, all that. But you can have a little bit more of a spray, and if you can putt really well, you win. Well, I mean, Kafka's got the power, and he's won two U.S. Opens knowing that you got to putt really well. So I keep wondering, like, why can't he win this, right? Why can't he win this? And I love that Tiger's swing looks a lot better than I've seen it in a long time. I love that Freddie Couples will probably, you know, shoot one of these rounds in the 60s. It just makes it so good.
Brooks Koepka is the fifth shortest odds on the board, 16-1. He does have five majors. We'll see what he can do this week. But as far as Tiger, I know that he is not the Tiger of old, obviously. But whenever he is out there on the course at Augusta, drawing that many more eyeballs, it's great for the sport. And so many of us are going to be tuning in just to see if he makes the cut. So I'm excited to see him out there. I hope that the body holds up and gets him into the weekend and we can have a little fun there. Now, Michael, it's not Augusta, it's not the Bahamas, but we do know the matchup in Sao Paulo coming up in Brazil, the opening weekend of the NFL season, that while the Eagles will be the home team, they're going to be facing off with the old Green Bay Packers.
I mean, a lot of green going down in San Pablo now. We got the Eagles and we got the Packers. But look, we have two good young quarterbacks, right? Big year for Jalen Hurts, right? Jalen Hurts is going to have to reconnect to his team. I think this is one of the things when we talked in the last hour about Caleb Williams and the concern that you might have is, can he connect with his teammates? Can he connect with the team? Is he going to be kind of an off aloof? Well, what we saw last year with Jalen Hurts was he was aloof and there was no real connection to his team. Won a lot of games, really a good player, great with his feet, can run around, good offensive line. So this is a good test of two really good NFC teams to start our Friday. I mean, who knows? I mean, we think Thursday we're going to get Kansas City against, I don't know, fill in the blank. We'll have to wait till Will Hill decides. But, you know, that's great. And then we got Sunday and Monday. I mean, can we count the days down? I mean, seriously, this is so good. I never thought San Paulo would be the next place they play, but I'm looking forward to it, Stormy. I can't wait.
Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. To your point, one night after that traditional season opener that'll have the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs in it, it is the first time since 1970 the NFL has played a Friday night game in week one. Eagles, again, the designated home team. It's Corinthians Arena, home to the Brazilian soccer club SC Corinthians, hosted the 2014 World Cup, 2016 Olympics. And just an early reminder, this game will be broadcast exclusively on the Peacock streaming service. So if you didn't get it in the playoffs, you got to get it now. Eagles, we do have a line out, an early 1.5-point favorite, total 51.5, the first of five regular season international games in 2024. In addition to Sao Paulo, we'll have the Bears, Vikings, and Jaguars all host games in London, and the Panthers hosting a game in Munich, Germany. These last 3 minutes here, Michael, before we hit the break, every day that you have been here over these off-season times, we like to hit a what's on Michael's mind, just asking you what's kind of grabbed your attention lately. And I love this week's because today you're talking about winners and what it takes to be championship caliber.
You know, it's so, you know, as you know, I work with a lot of great people at the Daily Coach, and we write every day about some form of leadership. And this morning when I got back late last night, I wanted to write about, because when you're sitting there watching, you're watching Michigan football team and you watch what they were able to accomplish and how they handled it. And then you watch the South Carolina women's basketball team and you listen to Dawn Staley talk about what her core tenets are in terms of leadership. And then you get to Danny Hurley and you listen to what he's talking about in terms of what he believes. And all three of these people, women, men and women, they all have different backgrounds, different mentors, different styles. But they all need players that want to be coached. And even asking their parents or guardians for permission. I think Danny Hurley said this, we spend a lot of time focusing on parents. Are they going to be fans of their son or parents? Are they going to hold them accountable? Have an expectation that when something goes wrong, that it's not the coach's fault. Their son has to work harder, do more to earn his role. That's powerful. But we've lost a lot of that. And so for me, these three winners represent that. They represent these young men and women who want to be coached, who want to become bigger than themselves. And if you examine the qualities of any great coach, whether it's Pat Summitt, Vince Lombardi, John Wooden, Belichick, Walsh, Sir Alex Ferguson, Andy Reid, whomever, even Ted Lasso, right? They all have these qualities that are important towards winning. And if you want to win, you can talk about times changing. You can talk about different generations. At the end of the day, it really isn't this. And I thought, I read this quote when I was away on vacation, and Teddy Roosevelt said it. I don't represent public opinion. I represent the public. There's a wide difference between the two, between the real interest of the public and the public's opinion of those interests. There's a lot of people that have an opinion on how you should lead. But what we've witnessed in college sports this year is leadership is about how the coach leads. It isn't what the public wants you to do.
And I think another carryover from all those teams that you mentioned too, Michael, is that they're a team, right? Like we saw specifically in the men's and women's basketball tournament, the losing team on those ends was the one that had the star marquee player, but maybe not the full group effort that came together. UConn, it was hard to find a most outstanding player because it was really like the sum of the parts as a team. Michigan, it's not like there's one star player that is the reason that you win all of these games. It is a collection. I mean, even if you talk about the Kansas City Chiefs who are coming off a Super Bowl, yes, they have Patrick Mahomes, but they needed that defense to carry them the majority of the way throughout the season. So all really, really great points, Michael. Plenty more football talk as we go here this hour. All sports. Harry Gagnon's going to join us in a little bit. But when we return, step into my office. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we at VSiN are offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free when you sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in action, find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets, and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage. It's a limited time offer. VSiN.com/splits is how you can claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk, winger. Step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now. Coach Cal, John Calipari, new head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, which that's going to take a while to get used to saying here, Michael. But yeah. Cal, after 15 years at Kentucky and going 1-4 the last five tournament games, BBN was no longer pleased, mutually parting ways there with Kentucky. He heads to Arkansas. He said that the program, quote, probably needs to hear another voice. So I think this could be a win-win for both Big Blue Nation and Arkansas with Coach Cal headed that way. What does he need to do, though, differently with the Razorbacks to regain the former success that he has had as a head coach?
Well, I think he's got to go back to building a team, right? I think Coach Cal, I think one of the issues you've always been able to do is kind of one and done, and you've taken great pride in how many players go play in the NBA, but that's not going to win any favor in Arkansas. You're going to have to win and go advance in the tournament because the guy you replaced was taking a team to the Elite Eight 2 years, two out of the last 3 years. And so there's a standard that he had. Now, obviously, they didn't play very well last year, but I think this comes back to your willingness to adapt to team building. Are you going to continue to think you can get the elite five stars, bring them in, treat them like that you treated them at Kentucky, or can you go back to your old UMass days, to where you found Marcus Camby over there in Bridgeport, Connecticut, to where you found these young players and developed them and kept them for 4 years and used your skill as a coach to develop talent? You said in your release when you were leaving Kentucky to say goodbye on Instagram, you talked about how, you know, how much satisfaction you get in developing players, how much satisfaction you get from walking in the gym and coaching. I think you got to do that, and you have to keep a team together. I think you got to shift your dynamic completely because Arkansas isn't Kentucky. Great facilities, nice. They sell out 18,000 people. You're going to have to get rid of all that blue in your closet. I don't know where it's going to go, but you're going to have to put red on, and it's going to change. But when you change colors, you got to change your team building approach as well. And I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. Don't get tempted by the 5-1 and done kid. You can't coach that kid. They're not coachable. What you got to get is somebody who's a 3-star and make him into a 4-star.
And actually, like you said, coach a team. He goes from $8.5 million a year to $7 million at Arkansas, but the contract is very incentive laden when it comes to SEC tournament, NCAA tournament, and there is a non-compete, so he can't leave for another team in the SEC, which our guy Elliot Bowman was joking, like, how did Kentucky not have that? Interesting point for sure. Arkansas's national championship odds.
Well, but let's be clear. Let's be clear here. Now, Cal had, I think he had $8 million a year. He had $33 million left on that deal he signed when he turned UCLA down. And so what he, you know, what the headline is going to be that he took a pay cut, but he didn't because he got another year. And so now he's really just added more money over the time. And so in exchange for a lower 5-year total, he picked up an extra year because literally he could have been out of work. And next year, if they decide to pay him off, look, this whole thing, the reason he did this is because they didn't want to buy him out at $33 million and he wasn't going to quit and leave $33
million. Arkansas's national championship odds with him now as their head coach go from 70-1 to 30-1 in a flash. Dan Hurley. Somebody I'm sure Kentucky would love to have as their next head coach, but it seems unlikely that he'll be willing to leave UConn after winning now back-to-back titles. He said in his post game after winning this year's championship, the Kentucky job opening was, quote, not a concern. What's most important for Hurley to continue this run of success? And do you think he should consider Kentucky if they roll out the Brinks truck?
No way you should consider Kentucky. No way. Because who you are as a coach is represented by your team. And once you go to Kentucky and you're not number one in recruiting and you're not taking 5-stars, people are going to wonder what you're doing. All the pressure on the job is about who you recruit at Kentucky. And that's what got Coach Cal. I mean, look, he had the best recruiting years of anybody every single season. And yet he couldn't coach them because this is why Jay Wright's doing television and not coaching at Villanova. It's hard to coach college basketball players who have been recruited since the 8th grade and have been pampered and told how great they are for so long. And you can do it at Kentucky, just like you talked about, where you're looking the parents in the eye and saying, you're going to let me coach your kid. And that's not going to be at Kentucky. Look, money doesn't buy happiness. We know that. Stay at Connecticut. You can up your fee to go speak to business leaders across the country. Make more money that way.
UConn opened the second shortest shot behind Duke to win it all in 2025 at 12-1. They have since been bet down to 10-1, now co-favorites with the Blue Devils. How about John Mara stepping into the office? Owner of the New York Giants, he told reporters earlier in the offseason he would approve of drafting a quarterback if the Giants fall in love. You wrote your column about this topic earlier today. How important is it for the Giants to replace Daniel Jones, or does he deserve another shot?
Well, I think the wheels need to be in motion to replace Daniel Jones because I think you're going to ask yourself the question. You signed him to a 4-year contract, but this contract clearly was a 2-year deal that you can get out of. And if you don't draft a quarterback, how are you getting out of this deal? And there's nothing that Daniel Jones has done to indicate you want to continue down this road. And so for what you need to do, and as much as Joe Shane can talk about, oh, we're not, you know, we have a lot of other needs. Yeah, you do have a lot of other needs on your team. But the biggest need of all is trying to figure out how the hell you're going to get out of this, get your quarterback position fixed. And with Daniel Jones, you're sitting there saying to yourself, in 2025, you're not going to have a $41 million cap hold on your cap with this guy quarterback.
The Giants.
So you're going to have to do something.
Yeah, the Giants currently have that number 6 overall selection. They are -160 to go wide receiver with the first selection, +130 to take a quarterback, whether at 6 or if they move up. Doc Rivers in the office next year, Michael, a step into my office Hall of Famer. Uh-oh. Since taking over a 30-13 Bucks team, Rivers has coached the team to a sub-500 record. Giannis Antetokounmpo is injured now, dealing with a calf issue. How should Doc approach this final stretch of the NBA regular season and into the postseason?
Well, I think he's got to get Giannis healthy. That's pretty obvious, right? And so he's got to get that. But I think, you know, he was hired for his, you were hired for your defensive acumen. And this is your specialty. And you're one game below 500. I think there's obviously you're going to have to change your approach on how you're going to get the team to buy in, because this doesn't look good for you as a coach, because we know come playoff time, Doc, I lived it, man. It ain't pretty. It's usually good in the regular season, but it ain't pretty in the regular season, postseason. So you're going to have to change your approach, and it starts with playing better defense and getting the players to buy into what you're doing. When you're one game below 500 with the talent that they have on the team, and you could talk about putting Beverly in the lineup and benching somebody else, they're not listening, and you're going to have to figure out a way to listen.
Yeah, that's why the Celtics are an odds-on number in the Eastern Conference. The Bucks are the second shortest shot, plus 550, 13-1 to win an NBA title. They were minus 3,000 in the division a couple weeks ago. Currently minus 105 with the Cavs two games back and three to go at plus 110. Bucks have a home-and-home against the Magic and one at OKC remaining. Cavs host Memphis, Indiana, and Charlotte. How about Matt Painter, Boilermakers head coach, stepping into the office here following a loss to UConn in that national championship game, with Zach Edey moving on. Michael, what will be key for Painter to do with this program to propel this year's success into the future?
Well, I mean, you've established your brand. You've been a winning program for a long, long time. I think, Matt, you just got to keep doing what you're doing and stop listening to anybody who tell you you can't do it. You know, you're measured by getting to a place which you finally gotten to. Everybody was ridiculing you because you couldn't get there. But yet in reality, you did. And even though you didn't win the game, you know, you still have a really good program at Purdue, and you got to focus on the future and use the success that you attained this year to convince the kind of kids that you get to coach to come to your school and develop. And one thing with having Zach Edey, I think it's a great lesson, right? He wasn't talented enough to go to the NBA. So every year he got better. And what happened around him? Every year your team got better and you weren't in the one and done program. And I think that's really important. I think you know who you are now better than ever, and don't listen to the noise.
The latest ESPN Jeremy Wu draft analyst mock has Edey going 13 overall. If that holds, he'll be the second highest drafted Purdue player since 2000. Oh. Jaden Ivey at fifth overall. I'm just saying that's what he has. Purdue.
Oh, my. Are you kidding? I mean. I got my man over here, Bill Berman, thinking he could score on him in the low post. I mean, come on. He's telling me he's going 13.
I'm just telling you what the mock draft analysts are saying, okay? Purdue is 30-1 in next year's title odds. They've got two ESPN top 100 players coming in, including a 7'3 guy from New Hampshire, Cannon Catchings and Jakari Harris. We're going to hit the break here. When we come back, Harry Gagnon joins us, a tradition unlike any other. Yes, we will talk Masters. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you from coast to coast. As always, happy to have Michael back in his chair out there in Jersey. I'm live from Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. And it is officially Masters Week. We have the first major upon us, teeing off tomorrow. And all the stars will be out as we welcome in one of our stars, Harry Gagnon, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, former sportsbook supervisor, host of the Against All Odds podcast with Cousin Sal. And I already know he's got action from Augusta. Welcome in, my friend. How are you today?
Oh, everything's great. How are you guys doing? Everything all right? You guys cash on the Connecticut win by both games by 10 points or more with that plus 215?
Dude.
And then you had the other one, Harry. Go ahead, Stormy.
No, I was just going to say, how high are you riding after the plus 215 for them to win both games in the Final Four by more than 10? Like we said, fade UConn at your own risk. You put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, they didn't even shoot that great from what we've seen a lot of times during the regular season. It could have been worse for Purdue. It could have been worse for Alabama. I really think it could have.
Well, and then you also had the one where you had Purdue and you had UConn and Purdue to beat their opponents by 10 on that bet. That was another teaser you had the week before. That was a good one, too.
That was nice, too. Yep, I mean, Nice job by Purdue along the way to get there. I know they were a one, but to get to that point, they'd never done that before. So good job by them, but just Connecticut, unbelievable. I mean, that starting five, to basically for Hurley to have a almost a brand new starting five from the year before, and them going 12-0 the last 2 years and covering every game and winning by double digits. Unbelievable. Unbelievable for college.
Yeah, since this is really the last day that we can talk about it before we have to move fully forward, how impressive has this run been from UConn over the course of the last 2 years? Like, every single win they've had in the tournament has been by more than 13 points. No games ever really in question. Late, Alabama seemed to be the closest one when they were tied with 12 minutes to go, and then they still seemed to get ahead the way that they did. It's been remarkable.
I mean, you have dynasties in the NBA sometimes here, you know, where a team after team, win a couple in a row, or just have great seasons in a row where they're just tremendous record wise. But when you do this in college, when, you know, you're putting kids together that are 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, and they haven't really played with each other, and they're supposed to gel because they recruited or they went there, to be able to do what they've been able to do in the past 2 years as 20-year-olds is amazing, really.
It really is. And this week is another part of the week. We go right from the great basketball tournament, men's and women's, right into the Augusta. So I know, Harry, you probably got a lot of action going. I don't know what teasers you could possibly, you and Stormy could spin together here on Augusta, but tell me why Brooke Koepka isn't a good play at this tournament, because I think Koepka's got the game to win this thing.
Oh, sure. You know, Koepka always steps it up when it comes major time. I believe he finished second last year at the Masters. He just has that drive. He may not have drive for the whole season in other tournaments and wanting to get things done, but when it comes, you know, now he's on the live tour as well, so it's nice and easy and relaxed for him there. But when it comes to the majors, I think this is where he really brings his fire, brings his A game. I've seen Koepka at 20-1. I've seen even like 22 or 23-1. Five majors to his record. I think it's definitely worth it. You can't not put Koepka in the mix somehow, some way, of some bets of, or, top 10, top five. Koepka, like I said, at 20, 25-1 to win the thing and finish second last year, that's pretty good value.
Who is your favorite to win? We see people, despite the number being as short as it is on Scottie Scheffler, continue to bet it down at DraftKings right now. It's 4-1, followed by last year's championship, Jon Rahm and Rory McIlroy, tied as the second shortest shot. Who do you have? Who is your favorite in-pocket wager for the Masters right now, outright?
You know what, Stormy? It may sound boring and whatever, but it's Scheffler. I just don't know how you can love seeing what this guy does. I don't know how you can just come up with somebody else, because I mean, you could come up with other reasons and stats why you like somebody else, but Scheffler has been as dominant in golf as maybe Tiger was many moons ago. You know, Scheffler won in Augusta in 2022. He's played in 8 events this season, 7 top 10 finishes. He won 2 of them. He's first in the world rankings, obviously, first in FedEx point. All eyes are going to be on Scotty this week, and well, they should be. I think he takes his second green jacket. He has been just that good for quite this stretch of 3 years now.
And then you like Rahm to defend his championship and be in the top 10 at plus 125.
I think that's a no-brainer too. Rahm, top 10, plus 125. He possesses, guys, the best average round score at Augusta ever in history at 70.5 shot per round. This is his 8th Masters. Not only is he, like you mentioned, the defending champ, where he won by 4 strokes last year, but he has in the last 6 Masters, he has 5 of the 6 top 10 finishes. Give me Rahm. I think a plus money there, plus 125. Not a huge number in terms of a plus, but still a plus nonetheless for top 10. I think, again, 5 of his last 6, I think that's a no-brainer.
I want to go back to Scheffler here briefly, because you made the comparison to Tiger, and you look at the tee to green averages. Tiger Woods and Scottie Scheffler over the last 20 years have the top 4 in all of those. Scheffler plus 2.8, and Tiger is just barely ahead of that in what he had. But yeah, the top 4 are the 2 of those guys. It's remarkable. Scheffler's won 2 of his last 3 starts. He's the most informed golfer in the world. So tell me if there's any hope of my approach. What I was saying earlier is I'm hoping that maybe he can get off to a little bit of a slow start. We know what a closer he's been, even in this season, coming back in an event, that like maybe he gets off to a slower start and we can get a slightly better price, because right now 4-1 plus 105 for a top 5. He's $2 to be in the top 10, Harry.
Yeah, that is something else. You know what? Maybe you can do that. And I wouldn't be afraid. Put it this way. if you can, and maybe goes plus one for the first six holes and get maybe a little bit of a price, don't be afraid. Just do it because, you know, his iron game is amazing. And only thing, if he can get some of his, he hasn't been the greatest, and he'll say it himself. He said it, where his putting hasn't been the greatest of late. He can get his putting going. Even his putting is usually still pretty good, pretty darn good. But if his putting is where he thinks it should be, knowing the other parts of his game, he's going to be right there. And again, I know it's not great odds at 4-1 to win this tournament with 90 guys, but no one's better than him right now. Nobody.
Well, I mean, obviously going to all the Springsteen concerts overseas and going to Sweden and all the places you go to see him, you know, you've got this Ludwig as the top Nordic player. Ludwig Åberg is the top Nordic player to finish at plus 135. Where'd you come up with this one now? I mean, were you scouting him over there where you were watching Bruce?
It's hilarious that you say that, Michael. It really is, because when I was there in Barcelona last year in the pool, there were a couple guys there talking golf. I don't know them from anywhere. They're from Sweden. We start talking golf. The guy actually tells me, Martuccio, his name was. Martuccio in the pool tells me about golf. He's like, I'm going to give you a guy in the next year where he is just going to blow up. He's from Sweden. His name is Ludwig Åberg. And he gave me the info on this guy. And since then, I'm going to take Åberg at plus 135 to be the top Nordic player. He only has to beat three other guys, which includes Victor Hovland, who has not had a great 2024 so far. You haven't seen Hovland in the top of the leaderboards at all so far this year. So Åberg is a guy who, by the way, just played in the Ryder Cup. He is the first Ryder Cup player ever in history to have never played in a major. This is his first major. He's at the Masters. He's played 23 PGA events. He's ninth in the world rankings already. He's got seven top tens in those 23 events. He's got 2 seconds, 4 top 5s. He won one tournament, and that weekend he shot back-to-back 61 to win the tournament there. So Ludwig Åberg only has to beat three guys for the top Nordic player. I hope you guys love them.
Anything else that you like, whether it's matchups, top 10, top 20, top 30, make or miss the cut, anything else Masters-wise we should know about?
I'll give you this one, too. This is not a household name, really, in Germany, but I'm going to take Steven Yeager. Yeager, top 30, you can get him at plus 190. This is a guy 2 weeks ago in Houston that won the tournament. That's why he got in. He got in from winning 2 weeks ago in Houston. And he held off Finau and the aforementioned Scottie Scheffler to win that tournament. Last seven tournaments, this guy, Steven Yeager, 3 top 5s. One of them was in Torrey Pines. He's 10th in the FedEx points. I'm going to take Steven Yeager, top 30 at plus 190.
And you're taking the Royals on the money line versus the Astros today.
A little baseball action for you guys, too. A little baseball action. Why not? Royals plus 108 right now.
Why not? The Astros. Right.
Seth Lugo is in the American League now after 8 seasons in the National League. He's off to a great start with Kansas City in 2 starts. His ERA is 0.71. He's given up just one earned run in 12 2/3 innings. So give me the Royals to take down the Astros. They took him down last night. Take him down again. Royals plus money at home.
Even money, yeah. Don't hate that at home one bit. Harry, you're awesome as always. Thanks so much, buddy.
Guys, enjoy the Masters.
Thanks, see
you,
Harry.
Guys. Yes, you too. And make sure you check out the Against All Odds podcast with Cousin Sal wherever you get your podcast. We say, why not throw in a little baseball? Well, it's Why Not Wednesday here on the program. So when we return to close things out, looking at some plus money props that might make you just turn your head and say, hey, why not? I'll throw a bet on that. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh man, we've got an action-packed fight card taking over Las Vegas for UFC 300. And DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any UFC 300 bet. Download the app, use the promo code VSIN when you sign up. VSIN, DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.
Maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
We've talked a lot about the New York football Giants today and their issues at quarterback, but instead of asking you, hey, Michael, are they going to draft a quarterback in the first round? I'm not going to go easy on you like that. I'm going to ask you this. Could you say why not to the Giants getting off the mat and making the playoffs yet again? Plus 400 is the price.
No, I can't go why not there. Because I think they're changing what they're going to do defensively. You know, it's a nice try, but I just don't think they're going to have to get better quarterbacking play. Where's their skill play coming from? And look, you can criticize Daniel Jones all you want, but that offensive line has not played well. And so they haven't been able to protect him. You know, Andrew Thomas is a good left tackle, but Evan Neal's been a turnstile. Mm-hmm. He was the first pick that they drafted. I'm not sold on this team. I have a hard time seeing it with them, only because I think that they're where it would make a difference if they had a better quarterback, right? If they could get that going. But none of these things, Illuminor that they got from the Raiders, he's going to be their starting right tackle. He has moments. They need a receiver badly. The running back, they're replacing Saquon with Devin Singletary. You can't get me there, Stormy. I'm sorry. And then if Daniel Jones gets hurt, we're looking at Drew Locke.
Yeah, the O-line should be better, but to your point, they've been horrendous the last handful of years. I do like the idea of Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau both coming off the edge defensively. I think that they'll be better, but they are having to make some changes there. Okay, I couldn't get you to say why not there, but this one might be a little bit even more off the rocker. I like it, though. Tiger Woods, Michael, in the Masters to make the top 10 at 9-1. Can his body stay healthy on a course that he has more familiarity with and success than anyone?
I would go why not with Tiger.
You would?
Get me to do that. He loves it. I would. The problem you have with Tiger, with Freddie, is can they do four rounds, right? Can they avoid the 78 round? You know you're going to get a good round out of them, you know, especially if their putters are well. Freddie always shoots one round in the 60s. So as they get older, they still have this ability to run the course well. It's they got to avoid the 78. And look, if Tiger's in position on Sunday, his nerves aren't going to be a bothersome. He'll keep competing. And I would always say, why not to Tiger? I'm not ruling him out because he's so good and he has this ability to compete at a level that few have.
The only bet that I have in pocket right now is Tiger to make the cut. I'm going to add some more to the menu here a little bit later on in the day, but I will be rooting for him to make it through the weekend. I don't know if once that adrenaline wears off, if he starts feeling the fatigue
know,
a little bit. I don't know. I'm going to be cheering for
it.
That's for sure.
Right? I know but here's what we have to be able to do to make the bet. We just can't have a 78. We can't have one of those Saturdays where we just fall apart, you know? And I think he's going in there and he looks good. His swing looks good. So I feel like, you know, one of the things experience gives you, look at Mickelson. When he won the PGA down there in Island of the Palms, I mean, you know, that was just, he was operating just sheer on instincts and guts and how to handle the pressure of the moment. And I think sometimes Tiger can do the same thing.
He stunned a group of reporters on Tuesday when he was asked about what would be a success for him this week at the Masters. He said, if everything comes together, I think I can get one more. Do I need to describe any more than that, or are we good? And everybody started laughing. So I appreciate him and the confidence.
I love it.
Obviously, his closet is already filled with 5 green jackets. How about Arkansas, Michael? We talk about their new head coach, John Calipari, coming to town. Could he fix things in terms of his coaching record, win a national championship? Can Coach Cal get a natty with the Razorbacks at 30-1? Could you say why not?
I couldn't say why not on that because I think, look, Musselman's, you know, and I'm friends with Musselman, full disclosure, I love Eric. He's a really good coach. And there's a lot of coaching that you're going to have to do at Arkansas. I just think, to me, can Cal change his style? Can he build a team? Can he think he's back at UMass where he can keep players for 3 years as opposed to being at Kentucky, where he's prided himself on the one and done. And when you walked into their facility, all you saw was who's playing in the NBA and how much money they're making, which is great achievement. Don't get me wrong. But you're at Kentucky. Your job is to win national championships, not to get players in the pros. Kentucky always gets players in the pros. Mm. So, you know, I think to me, that's the fact. I wonder, you know, if he changes and he can recruit and develop, I wonder what the staff will look like. I think he's got to change his staff a little bit.
I say don't waste your money. I'm with you. I can't get on board for this one. But one that I could get on board with is the elevation of the Houston Texans, Michael, and the way that this team has been building around their young quarterback, CJ Stroud, on his rookie deal. Big fan of everything that DeMeco Ryans has done. But can they, in year two of this head coach and quarterback combo, take the AFC plus 850?
Why not? I mean, why not here? I mean, look. We don't know who's all going to stay healthy. They have a really good defense. Look, one of the things you want to see at this time of the year is, can they rush the passer in the fourth quarter? And I think the answer to that with the Houston Texans is yes. Can they run the ball when they need to run the ball? Yeah, I think the answer to that. Now, Mixon's got to prove that he can come back. And can they come from behind with a quarterback who could throw the ball? I think that's the answer. And so they're really good. And nobody's going to take them lightly. And the other thing that no one talks about, this is 2 years in a row now, they're really good in the kicking game. I mean, Frank Ross, their special teams coach, does a really good job down there. He's done a great job of being able to control field position. I know we have a new kickoff rule this year, but I think, to me, they are a challenge to the Chiefs. Yeah. And one of the things DeMeco Ryans knows, that if they can pressure Mahomes, they got a chance.
It's going to take a lot to knock the Chiefs off the pedestal, as it seems to be just every year they're showing up and winning Super Bowls. The Ravens are going to have something to say about that. The Bengals, a lot of teams are going to try. But I like that Houston Texans squad, no question. Josh Allen of the Jacksonville Jaguars signed a 5-year, $150 million deal, getting him off the franchise tag. He had the second most sacks in the NFL this past year with 17 and a half. Could you say why not to him being defensive player of the year next season at 25-1?
I can't. I think, you know, now that Aaron Donald's out of the way, and if TJ Watt stays healthy, as Aaron Donald said a week ago, I've passed the torch to him. The problem you have to be defensive player of the year, you got to dominate every game, and you got to be able to rush in the fourth quarter and win the game. And can Allen do that? At times he can, but at times he doesn't. It's hard to beat TJ Watt. It's hard to beat Myles Garrett. I mean, that's some heavy comp. Doesn't mean he's not a good player, Stormy, but you have a hard time getting. I know it's 25-1. It's good pizza money value, but I don't see it, because I don't see them being able to turn the corner. I worry about their ability to really get more than 9 wins based on their team.
He is 7th on the odds board. Micah Parsons, a plus 550 favorite, followed by Watt, Bosa, Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, and Aiden Hutchinson all ahead of him. We talked a lot about quarterbacks, drafting, what's going to happen here. This is a long shot, but some folks like Michael Penix, could he be a top 10 pick? I don't know. 10-1? Could you say why not?
I would say why not to that, yeah. I think, to me, nobody, and I'm going to keep saying this for the next 2 weeks, we got to stop criticizing where they go. Like, somebody has the salute. Like, you, when you start criticizing where a player gets picked, you're saying you know the test scores before the test even comes out. It's unfair. Look, you can't say that. You can say, you know, what we just had Chris Sims on in the first hour. He talked about the Toledo corner. Outstanding. If he went in the top 8 players and he plays like a top 8 player, why wouldn't he be a great player? You know, so where they get picked is subjective to the evaluator, not to the grader. And we just have a disconnect. So I would say why not to Penix being a top 10 pick. Now, I do think there's a lot of teams that like Penix, and I think Penix has moved into that category of, I think he's definitely going to be a first round pick. Talking to the people around Penix and the people that study tape, Penix is very popular.
First round, yes. Top 10, I don't know. But let's real quickly, last 30 seconds, Bo Nix, his draft position is set at 32.5. So first round or not, for him to go under 32.5 is plus 120. Could you say why not to him being a first rounder?
I could say no to him being a first. I could see people saying, look, really good player, 70-some percent, a lot of bubble screens in there, great kid. But he's got more of a potential starter than he does a day one starter. For me, that would be the one. And I like Bo Nix. Like, I would not be opposed to Bo Nix drafting him. But you're talking about top 10 pick. You got to get something down the field. That's why Penix does give you that, Stormy. It's so good to be back, Stormy. So good to be back.
So happy to have you back. And don't forget, everybody, in addition to him being back on the Lombardi Line, new GM shuffle tomorrow as well. Have a great day. Thanks for hanging out with us.